tonight as we go to Acts chapter 2. Very familiar. We've used this particular verse for a number of lessons and messages and so on, and I want to come here again to this point, portion, Acts 2 and verse 42, because I want to share with you our purpose, our theme, our goal for 2015. Okay? Let's read together, Acts 2, 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. Amen. I think that's a good series of events, a good action to follow. And thank the Lord, the first century church immersed themselves in these practices, and I believe the 21st century church can follow suit as well. As we focus on prayer, everybody say prayer. And share, everybody say share. And you know those two that we have emphasized in a great deal. The third one as an acronym, perhaps you don't know as yet. CARE, everybody say CARE. CARE. All right, you may be seated. Prayer, as we've mentioned, is the focus for January, and skipping a few meals and going without so that we have a focus on prayer is important. And I'm thankful that prayer and fasting is how the yoke is broken. And there are some yokes that people are bound by that are not broken any other way. Philosophy, rehabilitation, medicinal means. There's just all kinds of things that people turn to and are unable to find relief, unable to come to victory. But prayer and fasting, Isaiah 58 says, is going to destroy the yoke. Praise God. And thank the Lord that we can be involved in talking to God about people. We bring them before the Lord. We pray for our loved ones. We pray for our families. We pray for our friends. We pray for people that we meet and have had opportunity to testify to and witness to. We talk to God about people. And then we talk to people about God. And I think that anointing, likewise, the anointing destroys the yoke. In Isaiah 10:27, that passage is there. I remember when my son Greg started to preach and had a laptop computer that he used diligently for study and for getting his messages. And he had a screensaver, Brother Bartlett, on there that was kind of a ribbon that would just flow through the screen. And it looked pretty unique. And then I noticed there was something written on that ribbon that was, or a banner, whatever it was, that was going through the screen as the saver. And it said, anointing destroys the yoke. And I wondered about that and asked him about it, and he said, that's scripture. That's Isaiah 10:27. So I looked it up, and sure enough, there it is. The modern versions render that a little bit differently, but I like the way it's presented, that anointing destroys the yoke. So we pray for anointing. We pray with anointing. We ask God for his direction and for his help. He said, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. And he knew that it was something that we could engage in, that we could be a part of. And the challenge was put forth for his followers to pray ye the Lord of the harvest. What for? Because the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Oh, God, help us to be able to be involved in the work of the Lord as prayers and as laborers. Amen. Because I believe God is pleased with that. When you're obeying his command, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send laborers into the harvest. Thank God. We could be the answer to that prayer. Both pray the prayer and be the answer to that prayer. Because I believe that's what God would have us to do in this year. And then share. Thank God for those share meetings and those share meals. My word, what a good time we enjoy in those get-togethers. And thank the Lord for those of you who host those meetings. And the Bible talks about being given to hospitality. And I think you fulfill that scripture very well. And again, I am just amazed that we don't have people just filling up the whole driveway and your parking area and knocking on the door and saying, we heard there's good meals here. We're going to come in and find out. And I know they would not be disappointed because they are excellent meals. We're going to continue that aspect of share. Amen. And then we're going to expand it, at least to our consciousness, to help us to recognize that share is more than a meeting. We're sharing our testimony. We're sharing our witness. Amen. As God has done something for you. Amen. God has provided many opportunities for you to witness and testify of his goodness. See, what happens is we hear of tremendous things that are taking place overseas and other revivals and other things, and we get a little bit intimidated that we haven't had those events take place in our lives or in our church setting or whatever. And we feel then that our testimony is not quite as grand, is not quite as great as someone who perhaps has been healed of this disease or rescued from that situation or revived and refreshed or resurrected in something that was quite drastic. But there's nobody that's got a testimony like your testimony. Amen. You are unique, not just from your fingerprints, not just from your DNA, not just from any of the aspects that science would be able to identify, but you are unique because nobody has a blessing like you have. Oh yeah, you have the Holy Ghost, spoken tongues like everybody else. You got baptized in the name of Jesus like so many others. Thank God that you followed the Bible plan. But in reality, no one has been blessed like you have. So share that blessing. Share that testimony. Praise God. And be able to let others know how good God is to you. Bible study is what we also want to share. I know it takes a bit of time to get the chart out and set up a meeting time and get a little snack ready if you're hosting it in your house and the coffee pot on and so on. But, oh my goodness, the returns are wonderful. Not only for the individual that you're sharing the Word of God with, but for you. And I've told you many, many times about how amazed I am that when I start flipping those pages in the chart, start looking up the scriptures, start telling the story, start relating what is on the Bible study and in the chart, there's just something new comes floating in. Maybe I'm getting more and more forgetful. I don't know. But it just, the Word of God is alive. Amen. It's powerful. Everybody say powerful. Amen. Thank the Lord that that word can be powerful as you share it, as you teach it, as you let everybody else know how unique the Word of God is. Acts 2 and 46, and they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. And I know as they went from house to house, they enjoyed that fellowship. They shared their testimony. They lifted up the Lord. They exalted his name. And they were thrilled with what the Lord was doing. Acts 20 and 20, Paul declared how he taught publicly and how he taught from house to house. Amen. God help us to be able to take the word of the Lord into those houses. So prayer, share, that's what we're going to do. Amen. That's how we're going to continue in this year doing what we have been doing because those are good things. Those are things that God blesses. Amen. And thank the Lord that we can be a part of it. Now, care. Everybody say care. Here's the acronym. that I want to share with you about what care means. Now, care in itself, as a word, has many definitions. I copied some of them down from the dictionary on my phone. Activity involved in maintaining something in good working order. That's care. The work of providing treatment for or attending to someone or something. That's care. Attention and management implying responsibility for safety. Ah, sounds like a safety meeting. Yeah. Care. Judiciousness in avoiding harm or danger. Out in those icy roads, you don't go zipping around somebody like somebody did me today. And I made sure I backed off and give him plenty of room to come back in, even though there was a yellow line on our side, and he should have been content to put along behind me, but he threw care to the wind, and around he went. Huh. Well, we're going to be judicious in avoiding harm or danger. That's care. To be concerned with. Free, feel concern or interest. That's care. Praise God. And all of those are a spiritual application as well as a compassion and an empathy that we would feel for someone and exercise care. But here's the acronym now. Continuing. Everybody say continuing. Continuing. Apostolic. Apostolic. Revival. Revival. And evangelism. That's care. That's what we're going to work with in 2015. Continuing apostolic revival and evangelism. Amen. Now, that may seem like a pretty generic goal. That's just something we ought to be doing anyway. Something that would just fall into place as we continue with our church life and our commitment to serving God and so on. But the devil is very much at work at trying to pull away apostolic revival and to do away with evangelism and try to make it seem like there's got to be something different. Now, I thank the Lord for all the social media that we could be a part of and utilize it in a way that is going to put our church, at least make it accessible to those who may be searching in that manner, a website, a Facebook entry, and the various things that we're able to do with tweets and so on. There needs to be that aspect of the church's presence, and thank God for it. But there still has to be the aspect of revival and evangelism continuing with apostolic flavor, with apostolic truth, with apostolic doctrine. Praise God. Thank the Lord that we can be a part of that. Now, Jesus promised to give life and that more abundantly. It's not for just a moment. It's not just for a time. It's for what you can celebrate as far as birthdays, and not just birthdays in the natural. Thank God we can celebrate those, but spiritual birthdays that you can look back on and say, this is how many years now I've had the Holy Ghost. This is how many years now I've been baptized in Jesus' name. Not just so that they are monuments and markers in your past, landmarks along the way, but thank God something that we know is alive and real right now. Thank God for the power of the Holy Ghost. Thank God for the wonderful name of Jesus and the power of His precious blood to minister in our lives. Amen. Now here's what Jesus said. John 8:31, Jesus said to them which believed on Him, the Jews who were following after Him, if you continue in My word, then are ye My disciples indeed. In other words, He's letting them know, you're hearing Me. You're recognizing what I say. You're analyzing it. You're critiquing it. But if you continue in it, then you're My disciples. See, because they were struggling. They were having a difficult time. In fact, when the Lord went on in verse 32 and said a very powerful statement, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They backed up. They said, we're Abraham's seed. We've never been in bondage. Right away, they were trying to qualify their experience in light of what Jesus said. And, oh, I'm thankful that we can know truth and the truth make us free. And that's the very freedom that you can extend to somebody else. When you share your testimony, you share the word, you share a Bible study, you're letting them know the truth, and the truth has power to bring and make free. If any man be in Christ, what happens? A new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Thank God that that can be the process that we see happen in someone's life that we have taught the Word of God to, that we have testified to, that we've invited to the house of the Lord. So we got to continue. Jesus said, John 15:9, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue. Everybody say continue. Continue ye in my love. Praise God. Don't stop. Don't take a detour. Don't be distracted. Continue in my love. And so we have this passage that we started with. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. They weren't haphazard about it. It wasn't a stop and go. It wasn't a jerky motion that all of a sudden there would be a spurt, and then for a week or a month or so, they would kind of just lackadaisically sit back and say, oh, well, I guess it's not that important, or I'll get around to it eventually. I've got something else I want to be a part of here. There's something else I need to do. No, they continued steadfastly. Amen. Thank God. Paul wrote in Colossians 1:23, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard and which was preached to every creature, which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Wow. Continue in that. Now, it seems paradoxical for him to say, be grounded and settled, but continue on. Don't be moved away, but continue on. Seems like they're opposites. That you would have to, in order to continue, you couldn't be settled and grounded. No, we understand what he's saying. Move on in your faith, but continue to be grounded. Don't be moved away from it. Don't be distracted from it. And did you catch what he said there? This gospel, the hope of the gospel, which you have heard, has been preached to every creature which is under heaven. Remember, Jesus said that the gospel must be preached everywhere before the Lord comes. And we definitely are trying to do our part. We give to partners in missions. We give to missionaries that come. Amen. Next week, Sister Amy will be here, and we're going to hear her talk about her time in Germany and Austria and so on. Or Sister Amber will be here, Hackenbrook. And it's going to be an awesome time for us. They both start with A. I mean, give me a break. We're going to hear about a tremendous report, great things that are going on. And we'll be a part of that. Praise God. But the Word of God has already been preached. Amen. The Lord can already come. We're going to continue to send. We're going to continue to do things that will help. Amen. But, oh my, I'm waiting for the Lord to come. Hallelujah. Everything's in place. Everything's been prepared. The Lord does not need to wait for any particular aspect of His Word to be fulfilled as yet. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. How are they going to come to repentance unless they hear somebody tell them about how wonderful it is to be forgiven, how wonderful it is to be baptized in the wonderful name of Jesus and to know your sins have been remitted, how great it is to be filled with the Holy Ghost. You have a testimony that needs to be told. Amen. And oh, there's going to be that final one. There's going to be that last one. And then the Lord says, my church is complete. I'm calling it up higher. Praise God. And the trumpet and the shout and the voice of the archangel. Oh, hallelujah. Let's continue on until that day. Glory to God. The Lord gave the commission to the disciples. Matthew 28:19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. And when the Lord says amen, that's amen. So be it. Praise God. Mark 16:15. He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Luke 24:46. He said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. Praise God. John 20:21. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. Message is pretty clear, isn't it? You got to go. You got to share. You got to pray. You got to speak the word of God. Who is he speaking to? He's speaking to his disciples. How ludicrous for somebody to say, I would rather take the words of Jesus than the words of the disciples, after Jesus in all four gospels is letting the church know, you have to go. You have to speak. You have to preach. You have to teach. And to say, oh, well, from the book of Acts on, might as well tear it out. I'm just going to take the words of Jesus. Doesn't make any sense, does it? No, the apostles' doctrine is what the Lord endorsed. The apostles' doctrine. They went forth with his word. In John 17:20, Jesus said, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. The Lord was endorsing the disciples' word. The Lord was letting us know he is counting on the word to go forth by those disciples and by the disciples in the 21st century. Not just in the first century, but thank God, by your word today. Hallelujah. The apostles' doctrine is what we're going to continue in, because there was a consistent pattern in the word of God. Acts 2:38-39 let us know about repentance, about baptism, about receiving the Holy Ghost, about the promises to you and to your children and to all that are afar off. Praise God. Not just geographically, but chronologically. All that are afar off. Thank God that included you and me. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God. And it's happening yet today. And then in Acts 8:12-16, two verses that let us know they were baptized in the name of Jesus. They all received the Holy Ghost in verse 17. Simon thought he could buy that power. Simon was told to repent. Oh, yeah. The pattern is there. Acts 10, Cornelius and his household, so excited about what they were hearing. Peter preaching the word. The Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. They heard them speak in tongues and magnify God. Peter commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. What a great pattern we see in the word of God. Acts 19, those 12 followers of John the Baptist heard about baptism in Jesus' name, and they got baptized in that wonderful name. Paul laid his hands on them. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Thank God, water and spirit. The elements that Jesus spoke of in the new birth. Be born of the water. Be born of the Spirit. These are the elements that the apostles received. That's the elements that the apostles believed. And that those are the elements that they put forth. Because they knew they had to preach what Jesus gave them to preach. The apostles' doctrine. Praise God. And that's what we're going to continue in. Hallelujah. I'm going to change it. Oh no. R is revival. Continuing apostolic revival. 120 in the upper room. 3,000 added. They were filled and then refilled. Praise God. All filled with the Holy Ghost began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And then chapter 4, when there's a prayer meeting going on, when they had prayed, The place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God that we can know that precious word and being filled with his power, filled with his spirit. Ephesians 5 and 18 says, be filled with the Holy Ghost, not drunk with wine wherein is excess. There are so many people who can be not only drunk with wine, but drunk with their job, being so full of that. Drunk with some kind of hobby, drunk with some kind of personality, all of these different things. No, I'm not going to be influenced by anything more than the Spirit. Hallelujah. Thank God that we can have friends, we can have fellowship, we can have all of these things. But oh, I want to be filled with the Spirit and let the power of the Holy Ghost influence me beyond anything else. Amen. Above everything else, be filled with the Spirit. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Revival means being refreshed. Acts 3 and 19, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Oh, thank God for those times of refreshing. We need them. That's why we come to church on a Thursday night. That's why we come to church on a Sunday morning. That's why we have special services. That's why we have share groups. Amen. Thank God we can be refreshed. Amen. And know that rest and refreshing that Isaiah was prophesying about in Isaiah 28 and 12. Thank God that we can know there's rest that the Lord would give us. That's included in revival. Amen. Acts 9 and 31. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord, and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. Now, that doesn't sound very restful, does it? They were edified. They were walking in the fear of God and the comfort of the Holy Ghost, and they were multiplied. You see, they weren't just sitting there twiddling their thumbs. They weren't just sitting there wondering, where's the Apostle Paul? Where's Peter? Oh, come on now. We need his shadow. We need those Yankees. No, they got up and did it. Praise God. They were walking in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Ghost. And what do you know? God honored his word. He confirmed his word with signs following, just like he promised he was going to do. And that's what he's promised to you. Amen. That's why we're going to continue an apostolic revival. Praise God, because I believe the Lord is desiring to fulfill it again and again. He delights in fulfilling his word. He delights in people who take him at his word. Praise God, and evangelism is going to be the thrill of seeing somebody else get the Holy Ghost. Somebody else be baptized in Jesus' name. Oh, I'm thrilled with 10 getting the Holy Ghost in 2014 here in Sterling, UPC. Ha, ha, ha. Praise God. I'm thrilled that there were 9 baptized in this tank. Praise God. Right here, Sterling Pentecostal. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. And I believe there's going to be more. Amen. Why not? Praise God. We're serving the same God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Thank God we can believe him to do the work. So evangelism becomes our heartbeat. Just as Jesus said, I must go into the next town. Praise God. We've got to continue looking at the next family, the next individual, the next young person. Praise God. The next child that's going to come to our Sunday school. Oh, yes. And continue evangelism. Look at the increase of the word. The increase of the word. Let me just share a few passages with you here quickly. Acts 6 and 7, the word of God increased. Acts 12 and 24, the word of God grew and multiplied. Acts 19 and 20, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Get the idea? It was exploding. It was expanding. Praise God. Sometimes whole cities came together to hear the apostles preach. They came to hear the word of God. Sometimes it was just one individual, Lydia, down by the river. And there Paul and Silas spoke to her. The Philippian jailer who took them to their house and his household believed that night and was baptized in the wonderful name of Jesus. Oh, thank God. Let it keep expanding. Let it keep growing. Let it keep increasing. Let it keep multiplying. Because commensurately with the increase of the word, there was the increase of believers. Amen. The increase in the church. They heard the word and believed. And Acts 4 and 4 says there were 5,000. Amen. Acts 5 and 14, the believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both of men and women. Glory to God. Acts 6 and 1, and in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied. Thank God, as the word was increased, as the word was multiplied, as the word grew, the Lord confirmed his word with signs following. And people were baptized in Jesus' name. People were filled with the Holy Ghost. Acts 6 and 7 that we referred to earlier. The number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. And a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Oh, thank God. That's the same word we preach. That's the same word we believe. It's the same God we pray to. And it's the same power he wants to display. Oh, hallelujah. Continue apostolic revival and evangelism. Praise God. I believe we can see God move and work in a powerful way. We can see the hand of God displayed in a great way because God desires to bring forth the revival. Hallelujah. Amen. To be continued. Oh, yeah. How many times have we heard that referred to? How many times have we heard that theme, the book of Acts, with no formal ending? Amen. We're involved in writing Acts 29, all of these exciting thoughts and ideas and messages that can come forth. Thank God you and I can be involved. Amen. Hallelujah. Just keep planting. Keep watering. Who gives the increase? God gives the increase. Oh, I want to see what he can do. Hallelujah. Amen. The old days of going in the hardware store and the big bowl of candy there and the proprietor telling the little boy, as the farmer who would come in and say, help yourself. Reach in there and get you some candy. The little boy would just kind of stand there and wait, and then the order was filled, the cash was exchanged, and finally the farmer would reach in and give some candy to the little boy. That happened several times as they visited the store. Finally, the man turned to his son as they were walking out and his pockets bulging with candy. Said, why don't you reach in to the jar and get the candy like he invites you to? The little boy smiled and said, his hands are bigger. Oh, our God's hands are so big. Hallelujah. He's able to pour out a blessing. He's able to give all that we need. Hallelujah. Thank God that we can put our trust in him. Praise God. And then you talk about continuing. Heaven is going to be eternal continuing. Praise God. Just going on and on and on in his presence forever. Look at the emphasis on life, eternal life, everlasting life, a crown of life, your name in the book of life. You drink from the fountain of the water of life freely. Hallelujah. You have right to the tree of life. There's a pure river of water of life. Flowing. The Lord emphasizes it again and again. It's life, not drudgery, not boring. I feel sorry for those people who think they're going to sit around in clouds and adjust their halo and strum on a harp. Oh, no. I thank God that we're going to worship him forever and ever. Hallelujah. Amen. We're going to be reunited with those who've gone on before. What a tremendous reunion. Hallelujah. Oh, thank God. We're going to see loved ones. We're going to see those we read about in the Word of God. We're going to be in the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We're going to push the angelic choir aside, as it were, and we're going to be able to sing the song of the blood washed. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to be in that continuing. Praise God. Stand with me tonight. Praise God. Wouldn't it be great to just have a few more continue with us? Glory to God. Amen. And to recognize that it's not a club and you pay your dues and we see each other every once in a while. No, that's going to be something powerful that brings changes to people's lives, and we have a heavenly hope that we're going to arrive in that place and continue on forever. Hallelujah. Amen. Because those are eternal souls. Souls that will spend eternity, forever. Somewhere there's only two places, only two options. Heaven or hell. And if we continue an apostolic revival and evangelism, there'll be fewer going to hell and more going to heaven. Praise God. That's what I want. That's what I'm challenging you with as a church in 2015. Oh, God, help us. Prayer, share, and care. Amen. Hallelujah. In actuality, we've been doing all three all along. We have been. Praise God. Otherwise, there wouldn't be 10 refilled with the Holy Ghost that we look back on in the last year. 9 getting baptized in Jesus' name. Yes, we've been continuing, but let's focus on it. Let's purpose. Let's give it all that we have to give. Praise God. Would you come and join me in prayer here tonight? Glory to God. Oh, yes, Lord. Slide. Forgot to ask you that. Okay, let's go ahead and put that slide up. Probably did have it up, huh? Okay, good. Let's put it back up again. Continue apostolic revival and evangelism. Praise God. And I believe the Lord has got some exciting things ahead for us. Amen. Now, the devil doesn't like that. I guarantee you, the devil doesn't like that. You pray a prayer of commitment to that theme and that purpose tonight, the devil's going to give you a bad time. Maybe even before you walk out the door. And oh, I'm thankful. All the devils in hell cannot stop the revival that God wants to give to his people through the power of his name. Through the fulfillment of his word. Amen. Let's claim it right now in Jesus' name. And let's commit ourselves to that purpose. Hallelujah. We're going to continue, God, in apostolic revival and evangelism. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, in the name of Jesus.